Flashback Twin Cities. Tom Osmond for the next hour here on KLBB Club 1220 with our non-shaven Tom in the next room, so we can tell us apart now.
Finally, there's some form of difference between us.
But we do have an hour of radio magic, as I just mentioned before we got on the air here. So let's make some magic today, shall we?
Let's do it.
We were celebrating the birth of our country this last week. What did you do on your special assignment last Saturday?
I worked here.
On Saturday, too?
Oh, yeah. I was here running the simulcast of the fireworks over the river.
Okay.
So putting out all the fires and everything that went along with that. Fortunately, okay. I don't think anyone could tell. Ah, good.
Well, I was listening to that. I did not know you were the man behind that. So
me and Jenna were here, and Dan, the station owner, and his family popped on by, and we all sat outside and watched the fireworks from the roof right over here.
Well, I was reading my pocket constitution most of the weekend to kind of keep up to date on...
As you should.
Every
good
it's an annual event.
American
and the
should.
Best part is when fourth is on a Friday, you have 3 days to practice. You don't have to read your pocket constitution, which there's an organization in this country that'll give you one for free.
I have one.
But there is another birthday that I thought, beside our country, is a very important birthday. Do you know what the birthday that is?
I'm going to assume some form of technology.
Yes, because we talk about technology. On
but
this
that's about it.
Well, the iPhone, heard of this device?
Not yet. It hasn't reached my country.
No, not in your country, but the iPhone turned 7 this week. Actually, the last 3 weeks. We were off last week.
Now, so. Doesn't it start intentionally being a brat at age 7?
Well, I've had mine for a few years, and it has its bratty moments. But I want to read some, and I use the term loosely, fun facts about the iPhone, okay? There's a 7 fun facts. The iPhone 7, here's 7 facts. As of September 30th, 420 million iPhones have been sold, and the second fact is 53% of Apple's revenue is iPhone.
Undoubtedly.
iPhone, at $93.3 billion of revenue, generates more revenue than Microsoft, Coca-Cola, and Disney.
Now, that is ridiculous, because Coca-Cola makes a lot of money.
Not as much as iPhone does. The Coca-Cola is only at $48 billion last year. They had a rough year, $48 billion.
Poor folks.
Apple ranks more than half of global smartphone profits. So half of this revenue is all profit. In 2013, the Apple App Store generated $10 billion.
Why didn't we invest in this, Tom?
I had an iPod when they first came out, and I paid, I think, $400 for it.
Yep, that's what I did, too.
And I thought, this is really cool, but no one but a real tech genius like me is going to figure this out. This is not going to catch on.
With the rotating wheel?
Rotating wheel, which made a clicking noise.
Absolutely. And I still have mine.
And Apple stock was $20 a share, and I thought it was going to, fall apart eventually. It's not the first time I've been wrong about something. Since 2008, more than 50 billion apps have been downloaded. And Apple has paid out more than $15 billion to app developers.
All right.
That KLBB app's on the works, right?
Oh, we have a KLBB app, but it doesn't work with Apple. Well, that's the downside.
Then I guess we can't get on that pie there. The iPhone 5S, which is the newest version of iPhone, is 20% lighter than the original iPhone, but 40 times more powerful.
What?
Lighter, smaller, more powerful.
40 times more?
40 times
Jeez.
More powerful.
See, I always get confused because you have this little – you have the a laptop, and it can fit like 500 gigabytes of space in the thing. It has no space whatsoever in
no
there.
No space.
You have the iPad, which is huge, and has like maybe 64 gigabytes of space. My iTouch has like 100 gigabytes. I don't understand how you can have a pad with way less space available to it, and it's bigger.
It's crazy.
It's insane, Tom.
Oh, and also, I want to thank Apple for now. Everyone says, it was iRadio, I love this, I heart this. Thank you, Apple, for making that part of our mainstream vocabulary.
Soon it'll be in a dictionary just like selfie.
Yes. Well, we have a guest today who is part of the technology revolution in journalism. Brian Lambert of MinPost.com. Not the Minnesota Post, as he was referred to at Newsapalooza 2014.
Yeah.
But MinPost.com. Welcome back. You're kind of the Joy Bishop of Flashback Twin Cities. This is your third
or the
time.
Alec Baldwin, Saturday Night Live. I'm starting to count the number of times I've been on the show, and I look forward to it every time.
You'll be in the Five-Timers Club pretty soon. Yeah.
Can I just clear up something, though?
Yes.
Your colleague here was doing a radio broadcast of a fireworks show?
That's right. letting the
you hear fire. Right. You hear.
Did you narrate them like there? That one was a green. When you're like, yellow.
Oh, look at that one.
When you're in the backyard grilling out some good American red meat, mm-hmm. and you have your. You know, you have your radio tuned into KLBB. You listen to fireworks. You listen to the magic that happens from radio. Use your imagination. If you can't be at the fireworks, you can listen to the fireworks on the river.
They've got it so the fireworks explode at certain points during, mm-hmm. You know, proud to be an American. And then at that exact point.
Tom just had a special kind of flush went through his face at that point.
I know. He looked proud. He still does. Beaming.
Patriotism is cool for like 1 week, one day. It's just, it's old hat and
patriotism is never uncool, Tom.
I understand that. I understand that. You know, Patriot, you are Brian. What did you do 4th of July? Did you
We were at a wedding. And,
okay, that's patriotic.
Yeah, it was patriotic. Right. We were up on top of a building downtown St. Paul, a beautiful view of the fireworks over at the Capitol. The plan was we were going to have them both ways. One would be coming up on Harriet Island. Mm. Unfortunately, they kind of got moved on us. But it was a nice night. It was a nice night to be up there.
Oh, yeah.
And just a real quick note.
Free bar.
Why couldn't I be with you on that night?
We had a free bar. Well, I mean, in my backyard, but... flooding, how will be the flood tapering off here in Stillwater?
The flood has tapered off.
I did some...
can finally get into Petey Pappy's down here.
Well, I did some investigative reporting this week, and I was checking out Calhoun and Lake Harriet and Minnehaha Falls. It's still a little damp. The geese and the swans and ducks have found a lot of homes.
Mm-hmm. Hiawatha Golf Course. I mean, that's just... It's astonishing how much water is going over Minnehaha Falls. You'd think that would drain 2 days. It would drain all the stuff...
It didn't feel like we got that much rain. I mean, the days that it rained, it felt a lot of utter rain, but it feels like we've had some worse.
I think a lot of people are getting a quick lesson in the watershed district.
Yeah, right.
For you know some of this stuff. Like, it's coming from how far away?
But back to your alternative technology reporting at MinnPost. You're up at 2 in the morning getting the Glean ready for daily viewing?
It would appear that way, just like anybody on the internet could be a dog. But no, in actual fact, I'm filing that by about 10 o'clock at night.
Okay, okay.
Then we have editors who step in who get the the dawn drill.
When you look at what's going to be the next day, what's going to be on your Glean post? What do you look for?
Well, we want a mix. We want the stuff that's bona fide, important, big political news. Lately, of course, the Archbishop seems to be making news regularly. There's a proud giant company here in town that's also had some struggles. We won't mention them on name right now.
There's been some struggles.
Curious, you know,
General Mills, I know they've had some trouble. I get it.
So they, that's the obvious stuff. You want to plug that in, and then you move around to the you want a little something for amusement, from time to time. You can't beat the guy that breaks into the house.
The Facebook guy?
Decides to check on Facebook and leave it open. You got to put that stuff.
Did you see the story?
I did see that.
To our listeners who may not know, I won't say a gentleman because he's not a gentleman. A guy breaks into a house.
He's a moron.
And we're that connected to technology that we can't not check in our newsfeed for 20 minutes while you're burglarizing a home.
Is anyone liking my burglary?
Right. And if I remember the story correctly, he then the person came back home, found him logged in because he didn't log out. And then they decided to meet up because he thought that the burglar left his scarf or his gloves or something at the house. They're going to meet up and just kind of hand that off. And
that happened in Forest Lake. Now, that would not happen in Stillwater.
In a different life, I used to work in a store, and people would steal things stupidly. I thought, if they were really smart, they'd go out and work and buy that TV and not try to find a way to steal it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've had some of the greatest dumb steals. One that was not reported, one of my favorites. This is mine from when I worked at Mr. Movies. I was at a movie store. And I had two people come in, and they tricked me. I was cashiering. One of them distracted me, while another one stole and slid past the security little gates. Passion of the Christ. They tag-teamed a stealing of
Passion. What was the retail?
It was $20 DVD.
Oh, it was a 20. Oh,
and as
okay.
a person who occasionally dabbles in VHS tapes, that is worth 1/18 of a cent now, that VHS tape.
Never saw that one.
I'm shocked. That was the first Mel Gibson production.
Your business on the iPhone. I mean, that's fascinating statistics and stuff. And before we came on, I was mentioning, you know, that I read today that Apple's somewhere in its pipeline is an all glass case. And also, there was some breakthrough was announced today for a truly flexible video, like a membrane, which, you know, they believe will be able to be used for contact lenses.
Oh, is that the membrane you can kind of like a scroll? You can kind of
Yeah,
roll
but
it
they
out
haven't and... been able – now they've come up with a way to actually process video through it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, which has been always been a dream for a long time for – you know, like before tablets came around, everybody thought they'd have a flexible newspaper sort of thing. But
well, and our guest today, Brian Lambert, one thing that I asked people that have been in journalism for a few years as yourself, did you imagine when you were out of school and you got your first job as Twin Cities Reader after you were done selling seeds? Was it Northrop King? NK, the second biggest seed distributor in the country.
Now owned by a Swiss company. But
Tax purposes.
I'm sure it's another one of these inversion things.
Well, Medtronic is leading for global strategy, not tax purposes, I'm told.
I'm right.
Yeah, right. But you're writing on your Smith Corona, probably. Maybe you had a Fletcher typewriter.
I had an Adler.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. $500 I spent for that thing.
I saw one at the Salvation Army thrift shop. It's by the pound, actually. Yeah. You buy the pound. did you think this is? I mean, we're talking about flexible. I mean, we had ideas of the future. In Epcot Center, the big joke is this is what we thought the future was going to look like in 1965 or what 1980 would look like.
Where's my flying car?
Right. Did you think this is what journalism was going to be?
No.
Scrimming some stories from this computer and you're being edited from punk kid before you're
my new editor Sally is about my age, but I don't think anybody did. I mean, there was every once in a while there's some prophet who got it right, but you figure out that was just a raw lucky guess that they figured that all this stuff would be as remote and quick and as it is today.
Do you think that the big companies, the Knight Ridders or Glenn Taylor, they were prepared for what happened?
No.
I think that even when the warning signs were all there.
No. I was working for Knight Ridder then, and when it all started to come and you were just this panic tone. First off, it was disparagement. This is just nonsense. Who'd want to ever look at a computer all day instead of holding this newspaper in your hand? Then when they started rolling out, they saw what the leaders in the field were doing. And then it was, oh, my God, how do we catch up? How do we do this? Then their advertising cratered because everything went to Craigslist and Auto Trader. And at that point, it was a series of truly stupid moves on a lot of media PR parts.
I have a clip here, Tom, I want to play. This is from the TV sitcom The Office. And actually, someone posted today on Facebook that the Pioneer Press had a little spot where you can find the best lobster rolls, the best Mexican food.
They got these
food
every day. That's a whole other rant.
Well,
but,
we'll get to that rant. Yeah.
We'll get there.
But it's like a mini internet on the dead trees. But I want to play this. This is, I think, what a
lot of... Just the American office or the British office?
The American office.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, we can do questions. Okay. Very good. First hand up.
Sir, as a company that primarily distributes paper, how have you adapted your business model to function in an increasingly paperless world?
We can't overestimate the value of computers. Yes, they are great for playing games and forwarding funny emails. But real business is done on paper. Okay? Write that down.
That pretty much was every executive at...
And Steve Carell could have worked for Knight Ridder when I was there.
Do you think... And by the way, this is the kind of radio you love, live and local. I mean, this is the radio...
Local.
This is your radio you like.
Yes,
I've read some of your blogs over the years.
Yeah. You liked them too, didn't you?
I did like them.
Yeah.
Good, right,
I was making a lot of good points.
You always do. Yeah. You always do. And I'm sure this audience agrees with most of your points, too. That's right. Don't listen to them. Do you think TV's prepared for what's happening?
I think they're still not
integrated, do you think?
I have a connection inside of the modern TV world, and it's hilarious to listen to the consultants rolling into town. Latest example, the consultant who I've known way, way back, who was an elderly gentleman when I was covering this stuff, and I stopped doing it 10 years ago. This guy is still obviously on, you know, some kind of permanent sinecure from, you know, the major corporations. And he rolls into town. He's now in his late 70s talking about what the kids and how we – the young viewers. And all he really knows how to say is that everything's going to go through the phone. Duh. Everybody has kind of figured
how
that out.
How much was he paid to tell that? Because I'm willing to go over to that –
quite well.
We both know that source, and I'm willing to go over to that company and tell them the same thing for half the price.
Yeah, but of course you wouldn't have worked for CBS and NBC and have roamed the country for years, knowing everybody firsthand, played golf with them and their children.
No.
So that's why your opinion doesn't matter in this, but his does. But no, they have no coherent strategy that I see. Part of the rant thing is the one thing that they do think is a hot commodity, at least in television news, is this lifestyle reporting, which I think all these stations are just gagging on. Story after story about some fun, you know, friendly event going on, you know, some lobster roll listicle kind of a story. Good luck, because I think that stuff is so easily replicated and repeated everywhere on the internet.
Who do you think the audience for TV news is right now?
They're pretty old. They're at least as old as I am, and now you're talking dinosaurs.
Because I'm thinking even your audience, your TV news audience, I don't even think that the audience that they have are being served. I think they're trying to serve an audience that's not there. And I don't think it's going to come into the same way that
the average TV audience, you know, has been for quite some time. They're not exactly an avid news consumer. I mean, this is still a continuation of entertainment for them at 10 o'clock, and then it's the entertainment off of network television. So that gives you another clue. I mean, they're not watching Game of Thrones. They're not watching House of Cards. That's not that crowd. Which might, you know, lead you to create an entirely different kind of a news product. So, you know, I think there's some they should have some fear about you know, how they're going to, what sort of an audience they're going to have 15 years from now.
I think, you know, TV newspapers, they both coexisted together, but I think that the internet and TV, and we'll take radio out of this, because, you know, we're serving our public for. You know, for what we, you know, we
where else can they go for fireworks?
That is correct. That is correct.
You're darn right.
But let's take TV newspapers. They coexisted, radio coexisted, but TV and the internet. And I'm wondering, is with NBC buying Comcast or Comcast buying NBC? I don't even know if that's still going to save network TV local news affiliates.
Well, you know, one of the things that's fascinated me recently, speaking of gadgets and gizmos and new technologies, you know, the Supreme Court recently slapped down this group, a company called Aereo, and their business model with these tiny little antennas about the size of a dime, but they would all be in their storehouse, and it would essentially be like a cloud sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They would have everything recorded, including ABC, NBC, Fox, PBS, and everybody else, and then you would pay them barely a buck a month. And you could retrieve this stuff anytime you want. Well, of course, the howling went up. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, no, you are essentially a cable operator. You have to pay ABC, NBC, just like Comcast does and Dish does and all these other people. But even today, I see that they've now decided, yeah, we are. You know, rather than go out of business, we are a cable company, and we are going to try to make a stand. We'll pay them something, which means the end consumer may have to pay $5, $10 a month. But the, you know, that whole model of, I mean, the live television model, which is really the backbone of what you're talking about with local television, because if you're not watching it live, you're not watching the commercials. And I mean, that whole model is seriously imperiled. I don't know anyone under the age of 35 who sits through programming, you know, other than sports, watching the commercials. I mean, it's all DVR'd and it's all on demand at their schedule.
Well, I was at my friend's house watching Walking Dead, one of the final episodes there, and it was the first time we had ever watched it live because we always did the DirecTV.
Hopeless.
Yeah, and we're sitting there watching these commercials, like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Every 4 minutes, there's a commercial break.
It's not even that the commercial break's worth, you know, three commercial breaks on a half-hour program. It's the fact that you're watching something for 2 minutes, and then it's back to 3 minutes advertising.
Like, I hadn't seen anything like that outside of when my mom watches Oprah. She'd talk for, like, 2 minutes, and then, boom, back to commercial again.
And what I also like, though, also, and this is now we're on a TV rant here, but I also like is when you're watching TV, then you get a whole, like, scroll of commercials for what's on next and whatever is on next week. You don't even get to watch the program without having
You have to break for a commercial here, guys? For the
Well, fortunately, it's been 20 minutes.
But how do you replace that kind of revenue? I mean, the revenue that people claim they can get now off the internet is a fraction of what newspapers used to get from, you know, display advertising, and TV stations used to get from, you know, Denny Hecker car commercials. Had to work in the Denny Hecker.
Oh, no, we can talk about that. In fact, I had we'll talk about that in a second. We'll go Denny Hecker rant. We'll go the food rant of the paper. But it seems like when I've watched national news, and usually I'm watching it at, you know, the fitness center because there's four TVs. I have no sound, but I can see what's happening. There is, what, 5 minutes of medical commercials every 5 minutes? And you said
their demographic is in serious breakdown.
But it seems like the cable news shows, you know, those 7 o'clock shows, MSNBC, Fox, those seem to do okay. Their numbers seem to be at least steady. If not, I'm not sure if they're eroding as highly as the network shows are.
Well, I mean, there's still, Scott Pelley and Brian Williams, those shows are still drawing more viewers than the cable shows are. Fox, as I'm sure you will remind us, Tom, draws a much larger crowd than MSNBC and some of the others, but still not as much as the network news. But the network news, I think those numbers, I haven't checked recently, but are still on a downward trend. I think that as strong as Fox is, MSNBC, the sort of liberal networks, a bit of a difference, that, I'm thinking they might have peaked out here. I mean, they'll spike up in election season, both of them. They're obviously playing a different game.
That has to make up 6 months of revenue when the election cycle goes on, which is never ending, by the way. That between, probably about August through November, when, 4 months of nonstop.
All this chatter about campaign reform is really about television. I mean, that's where the bulk of all that money is going. And I know for a fact these people just would fall to their knees and thank God. There's no work to be done. People are shoving money at you.
Mm-hmm.
And
imagine being a sales guy in October of election year.
Sweet. That is sweet.
There's big spending Jim Graves commercials to air nonstop. I'm sorry, but
underfunded Michelle really did not have a chance.
We're not going to get political on this show. Whenever I see Jim Graves, like, I'm sorry, I can't think of, oh, it's big spending Jim Graves. He probably is. He's probably fun to go have dinner with. He probably is a big spender.
I got invited to a party where he's going to be singing. And I didn't know he could sing.
He's also going to be throwing money at you.
I'll be the front row, applauding lustily.
He can spend. He can sing. Tom, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll go some rants after the break. We had a few of them. Then we'll have one against me for the last, probably 15 minutes. Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Oslin with Brian Lambert of MinPost.com, and your new blog, which is
Rye Wing Politics. I've moved. It's if you follow it, it's Lambert to the Slaughter, now at Rye Wing Politics.
And you have a very loyal fan base that follows you, much like talk radio hosts. You have a kind of following that.
Yeah, some of them are diseased, and they really need restraining orders, but they follow. Yeah.
Well, what can I say? I do enjoy when the diseased do comment, because that is one of the advantages of this new media era is when I'd email you 20 years ago about something that you wrote, you wouldn't get back to me. I'd have to, like, call you to get to the bottom of this. Now I can just put my comment on there instantaneously. I have response.
If you give your real name on this site.
Oh, really?
That's right. We've got rules. This is not NOM, dude. We've got rules here.
I know other places that tried to do the same thing for comments, and you had to have your whole name. Yeah. And there was a huge backlash. Like, no, not a chance. This is we can post, but we're not going to tell you who we are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had enough of that. And, I mean, now it's kind of fascinating because you do get these studies of how quickly the discussion deteriorates when it's anonymous. I mean, if you actually have to put your name to it, you kind of phrase things just a bit differently. There's a few less references to pigs and Nazis. And
oh, yeah.
Like
I was going
to
ask if Hitler came up all
Hitler
the time.
Hitler comes up quite quickly.
You're worse than Hitler.
You know, one of the things of the secular society is, you know, it used to be, you're satanic. Now Hitler. Hitler has replaced Satan as, the new villain.
Or if you're a liberal or if you're Republican, you are useless. Either side. It's just like, oh, you know nothing about America.
So what?
This is about TV.
I have an intellectual point I want to make here today. And I want Brian's opinion on this.
You've made several times.
So I'm going to play. So this is a Channel 5 newscast from 1968. I found this recently.
68.
I found this recently, and there's something there's a very interesting part of this intro which I want to play. And then
I was only 40 years old then when this happened.
Yeah. I thought you were just in preschool at this point, but
this is the KSTP News 10 o'clock report with John McDougal. Brought to you by the folks at MSP, who invite you to bring your life up to date to live better electrically.
Good evening, everyone. Minneapolis homicide authorities are questioning at this hour a father.
Now, we heard this commercial for MSP, and as you can see, our anchor has the MSP logo right under him the whole time.
Yeah.
Not a conflict of interest or anything that the monopoly gas.
That
company.
Was before we stopped to think about such things, you know. And before we went to the seminars, usually in Las Vegas, and got kind of a little hand slapping about decorum and how the proper way to do things.
But you brought up Denny Hecker, which I think we're allowed to talk about. He does not advertise in the station any longer.
Not currently.
Okay, all right. I do drive by the Denny Hecker auto dealership with the scar. You know, the scarring of the name is taken off the building. I asked a producer in here a while back, and I said, well, how was it that no one knew that this was happening, and all of a sudden, one day he crashes into a tree, and 2 months later there's a bag of Rolexes, and then he's every dealership's going on.
Don't forget the life-size Elvis that he had.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That was one of my favorites.
But, by the way, sidebar, is this new thing now with like Bud Grant and Sid Harpin having estate sales, is that coming from the Denny Hecker success of his big sale? Because I remember, you know, Denny Hecker golf clubs were going for a lot of money at the Denny Hecker sale.
He had a couple of them, I think, didn't he?
Sales?
Sales, yeah. I think they went through once, and then they found like another trove somewhere. So, hey, we'll have another sale.
All I know is that there was
the fake Rolexes. There were the Rolexes and the fake Rolexes.
They were in the Ark of the Covenant he had.
The motor scooters that he was selling were going for more than the retail value of it because it was a Denny Hecker. It's like having Jesse James as,
I suppose this all went to clawback stuff, to people he had ripped off. I mean, he only owed, what, $700 million when he went to jail?
Yeah, I think the person managing that, I don't know what that program.
Bankruptcy trustee.
Right.
Yeah.
But back to this, I mean, Denny was on every single station.
He bought himself a lot of protection. Nobody who was taking his money wants to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's a standard rule in just about every newsroom. You know, if you may come roaring in, you will not believe what Denny Hecker's been doing. And it's like, go find somebody else to drop the hammer on.
But you did a lot of research on this case when it happened, and
I got obsessed with it. Yeah,
it was a great story. I mean, we've had a few years since we had the Petters Hecker.
We need a new one. I mean that Amy, what's her name? The drunk driving thing.
Amy Sensor.
Sensor, excuse me. Yeah, that was kind of good.
Well, it's tragic though. That one is not a near as fun as tragedy. The Petters and Hecker. It's more fun because there's all this merchandise and all these transactions, and you had European
the pomposity of the way they carried themselves. What I always love about these stories is just the outrageous – I mean, the toys they're accumulating. It's just so pathetically compulsive. And I just, pal, do you really need 48 Rolexes?
I like that. And you wrote a –
You don't know me.
Did you not write a one-act show for the Fringe Festival on Hecker?
I intend to. I mean, actually, it would be a full-size play.
I think this is –
Danny liked to dance. He thought he was a good dancer, you know.
I might have to find some video of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my question is, which people have not answered that I've asked this question, and I don't want me to offend my past or future guests, is isn't there someone that could have made up – this could have been – we talk about sweeps and I-Team and all – that would have been a great five you know, five-part story of the kind of financial deals that him – when Tom Petters, you know, another guy, when he was buying every company in town, a company was going broke. Fingerhut goes broke. Polaroid goes broke. He bought it. And everyone – no one flinched.
I did an interview a couple weeks ago with the guy, the bankruptcy trustee for the Petters thing. This guy, Doug Kelly, who's an attorney, and you know,
was he the same one that ran for governor
years ago, 1990?
Right.
Yeah, he is now an apostate. He's not Republican enough, so he's out of the party, along with Arne Carlson, Dave Dernberger,
well,
and
the
people
way.
Who
right.
actually won elections. So. But, you know, Kelly's talking about, you know, trying to get the money back from him. That was my question to him, is kind of what you're asking. I mean, these people who were investing with Petters were not naive. The names that pop up are some of the bigger names around town. You've heard them all. They certainly knew, had good reason to believe that what he was running was not legit. Aren't they complicit in this? And, you know, law doesn't quite work that way. But, you know, he had a very – you know, lawyerly response to that, that, you know, they knew what they knew when they wanted and what they wanted to know.
I also enjoy that, you know, you read there's so many outs they had, you know, Hecker, even Petters had so many ways, okay, you've gone this far, you can stop. It's going to be rough, but you're not going to go to Leavenworth. Well, Denny's on a tour. He goes to a new prison every few months, though.
They've been punishing Denny.
Well, I think maybe he's speaking. He's probably doing business seminars, I think, to his former fellow inmates.
Be like the Wolf of Wall Street.
All right.
At the very end, he's going to still pitch, you know, sell me this pen.
Can't you see Denny up there doing that?
Yeah.
So now you didn't interview Denny, did you?
I met him twice.
Did he ask for a loan?
No.
Okay.
No, he was, in fact, it was his heyday, and he was strutting around the radio station that I briefly worked at.
Well, I was going to say, he was a former radio host in this market at a station.
That was part of the deal. He gets his own radio show. If you hadn't heard it, I can't if I've told this story, but it was a Saturday morning show, the Denny Hecker show, and all it was Denny calling up his dealerships. Call up Denny Hecker Ford in Elk River. Hey, how's it going? Who's this? This is Keith, Denny Hecker Ford. What can I do for you, sir? This is Denny Hecker. Mr. Hecker, how are you? How are sales out there today? This is not the commercial part of it. Really good. Really good, Denny.
That had about a 15 share, right? I mean, this is – we got to figure this out here because this is – I'm just going to make phone calls to everyone I know.
I just got to know if any of them picked it up and said, no, you're not.
Yeah, you're not Denny.
Get off of my line.
I'm trying to sell a truck here.
It's a bad day.
Who's the chairman of the U.S. Federal? Hal Greenwood. The best part is when you get to that power, you think that your face is a selling point. You think you're Colonel Sanders. You think you can put your face on your product. And Denny's face was on every bus stop and billboard. Yeah. And you know, I guarantee it. And it's the same Hal Greenwood thing. Hey, I may be taking your money to finance
completely
my,
compulsive.
I mean, living
in an absolute bubble world. I mean, he defined his existence.
My Florida condos. It's great.
He was a product of the go-go, you know, early 2000s. I mean, that's part of what fascinated me. There were a lot of these guys around the country. He and Petters are the most famous ones here in town, who just leveraged everything over and over and over again. Denny had 225 companies at one point. And, I mean, the real scam was he was constantly kiting money back and ripping off small-town bankers who would give him a loan based on, you know, X number of companies. He's got to have this value. Take that money. Pay off another one.
Yeah. Well, when it's all said and done, he got a prison cell and
everybody thinks he's got a Shawshank Redemption thing. He gets out and there's a chest of money buried somewhere, you know. He'll be tailed for years.
I guarantee you when he comes out and – mark this on this digital recording.
Yeah, I'm marking it.
There's going to be a big exclusive interview. The TV stations will be around. It'll be exclusive. One of the
it's like Jesse Ventura. I love him.
He'll be back. He will be consulting companies when he comes back. Oh, he will, because he knows how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't know how to deliver. He can sell.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be back.
And he's got, you know, how many half dozen good-looking ex-wives? That's
4 or 5 that I'm aware of. Yeah, you've interviewed them too, right?
One of them.
Okay.
Number one, she was very sweet.
Can we get her into the play too? Can we get?
Oh yeah, she'd be a part. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about this is actually do with media and publishing. So our former governor, who has not agreed to be on the show yet, but
he's been defamed.
You know, I'm surprised this case has gone as far as it has. You know, it sounded pretty frivolous at first. But when you think about it a little bit more, do you think that Jesse has a shot at doing this? I mean, these cases.
He obviously thinks he does because this isn't cheap.
No, yeah. and there's First Amendment lawyers in town. We're not talking his lawsuit against the federal government for having to go through the Scantron to.
Could you set this up? Because I'm out of the loop for this.
Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura, our former governor. There's a book by Chris Kyle. He was a Navy SEAL. Wrote a book, and he referenced a situation where a man called Scruffface was tearing into our. Tom Shue, a former military man himself, was being dragged forward toward our soldiers and president, okay, allegedly. And Scruffface got punched in the face by one of Navy SEALs or Marines.
Kyle.
Oh, by Kyle. Kyle, okay, yeah. Okay. So Jesse, and then eventually he did say it was Jesse Ventura, and then Chris Kyle was tragically shot by a soldier he was trying to rehabilitate. So it is a tragic tale.
At a gun range.
Oh. So this lawsuit actually had started before Chris Kyle had been killed, and I think that most people didn't give it much of a chance of going forward, but it still has gone forward. And the question comes down to is First Amendment rights, you know, is this going to carry? Because it's similar to the Larry Flint, penthouse case of 35 years ago, that you really got to prove there's really some major
and there's special standing for public figures.
Correct. And Jesse, even though he says I'm not a public figure, he wants to be on TV all the time. I love this. He's always moving to Mexico, yet he's here all the time.
Yeah.
He claims that he's not able to get work any longer because of this book.
Because of this book. Defamed in this book. Yeah.
Right. Now, the jury selection was this week. And
it's off and running.
Opening arguments have started. What do you think? You're on this jury. You've probably read enough about this case to probably make a pretty good judgment. What do you take on this?
Well, the interesting thing so far is that as you say, the book said Scruffface. Kyle then goes on a media tour and says it's Jesse Ventura. Right. They've already established in the trial that he intended to have it identified as Jesse Ventura in the book. And his agent said, you know, you could be risking some kind of, you know, legal action if you want to do that unless you're absolutely sure. At that point, Kyle said, OK, let's just call him something else. We won't put his name in there as though maybe he wasn't absolutely sure. And then I think it was the day after in the trial, we get to the part where, it's established that he knew that he entirely meant it to be
Jesse Ventura.
Right. And that key elements of the incident itself, the slugging, the black eye, he doesn't remember that so well. So his story sort of breaks down. But the issue is really harm. I mean, what did this cause harm to Jesse Ventura? I mean, nobody likes being called names or being made fun of, but if you're a public person, that happens all the time, comes to the territory. Jesse really is trying to argue that this book harmed his professional standing, his ability to make money. And Kyle's attorneys are arguing that Jesse's showbiz days celebrity were kind of in decline before this book hit the stands.
Conspiracy theories on True TV. I mean, that ended the same time. Obviously, there's a conspiracy against this.
Has anyone disproved Sasquatch?
It's one of those trials where I thought for sure this is going to be dismissed, but it's coming forward. And I'm wondering, you know.
That's what I mean.
Is a jury going to hear this case and think, you know what?
Yeah. It's very tough to prove. I mean, there's been, you know, there's a famous Sullivan versus the New York Times and all this kind of stuff. These things are almost impossible to win, which is why people like you and anybody who follows it are skeptical. But, Jesse, I don't think, is a super wealthy man, but he is pouring money into this thing in order to make his stand.
Well,
I don't know what he gets out of it. So what if it's over and he wins the case?
Exposure again. He comes
back.
Yeah,
but I mean, is anybody going to hire him based on this or based
on?
No,
but then Jesse
can
go on TV and say I'm always right and look at I won the trial and he.
Well, and the other one was that the book sales spiked after Jesse made a stink about it. I mean, this was just another. I mean, you see these on the stands all the time. You know, some ex-soldier writes a book. You know, a bestseller these days is 15,000 copies. It's gone away. A week later, it's completely forgotten.
What dollar is he asking for? Do you recall what he's asking for?
Dollar figure, I can't remember.
Okay, well, we'll be following that. It's interesting to see because I again, the former governor did plenty of own harm to his own career by again, and again, I don't think he'll be on the show anytime soon, but. His conspiracy theory show. Have you ever seen that show?
I saw a couple episodes, yeah.
A couple episodes? Really?
Yeah, no, I just saw a couple. You know, I mean, how many were there? There was only about 8 or 9.
I'm surprised you got through that long of it. I like when he...
Well, you know, I mean, there's so much of that stuff. I mean, there's, you know, if you turn on, you know, the Comcast, go up and down the aisle, there's, you know, alligators and UFOs. You know?
Don't you wish you were reviewing that stuff?
No.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll find out what Brian is watching on TV and what's going on in MintPost next week. Live at Twin Cities, Tom Osmond with our guest Brian Lambert discussing all things media and everything else. Talking about the media, the New York Yankees captured a shot this last week of a guy sleeping. Now, help me out
large
here.
Fellow.
Help me out here, guys. Why? He's suing the Yankees for $1 million because...
$10 million.
$10 million.
Why? What is this lawsuit
because
for?
Because they called him, stupid, overweight, fat.
I don't think they ever said fat or overweight.
They didn't. However, all the Twitter and commenters,
yeah.
Those wonderful people you love said that.
When you buy a ticket to Major League Baseball, isn't part of the agreement when you buy that ticket that
if you're out in a public space, anybody can take your picture. You know,
you'll be televised. You can hit by a ball, and they're not liable. I thought that's already agreed upon when you buy a ticket.
But he agreed. Well... Now he says because of all this, he can't get a job, he can't get his income. It's the same argument.
Why wasn't he working before?
Why was he asleep in the fourth inning?
He's at a Yankees game. That can't be cheap.
It's baseball.
Mm. Yeah, baseball. Okay, it's a slow game.
This is the home of the St. Paul Saints, right? We like baseball.
Actually, I love the Saints.
Yeah. That's right.
New stadium is going to be nice next year. I will go down to see that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When's the Swarm getting their new stadium? That's what I want to know. I'm going to go down there then. But... So
this one's getting laughed at. I mean, this is – it's so preposterous because they – you know, the was it the Yankee broadcasters or was it some other – I can't remember which you know network was carrying this. But the guys are right there. They have the tape of what they said.
This
it was just the routine stuff. Wow, why is that guy sleeping in the fourth inning? Is that his buddy with him?
They're not going to call – they're not going to call him fat or lazy on TV. Those guys – that's a story I didn't click on. I actually had zero interest in that story. I got as much as I needed to from the headline and the photo, but I'm glad you guys are following that more because it does interest me.
Well, it's just one of those interesting things that you try to get something out of the public eye by suing stupidly, and then it just explodes and gets you all that exposure you never wanted in the first place.
Well, at some point, he's going to have to put up money for his lawsuit. You know, it's like the guy
Well, they don't get paid until they win.
Yeah, I'm sure they're taking on a contingency on that one. But there's kind of like the politician who wanted to stop the Senate office building, the new one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
And then when it got to the point where he'd have to put up $500 to make the case go forward.
Or the three people that sued the city of Minneapolis.
Never mind.
The people that sued the city of Minneapolis for the Viking stadium deal.
Yeah,
when he put the retainer up, they all three of them, build it anyway.
I didn't really care.
But I got a week's worth of ink out of the papers and talk shows. You know.
Are we finished with stadium discoveries in the next year? Are we going to find more things in that bill we didn't know about? Is there some other deals and perks that are going to?
Well, they haven't quite decided how they're going to handle this personal license thing.
I thought that was decided. I thought that
it's going to be there, but the amounts and all that kind of stuff, and you know who all. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if everybody snaps them up. I'm sure in the first year they'll be a hot item.
So the season tickets are going to be $25,000 a year, right? That we're talking for.
I don't understand it. Especially, you know,
is that an exaggeration? 25 grand a year.
No, there are some. Honestly, well, not per year, but to buy in to get your personal seat license to allow you the privilege of getting the same seat the next year.
I don't even get
25 grand.
There's some.
Does my name
pricey.
Get to be on the seat? Like, does it, do I get
I want
to
an espresso machine?
Yeah, but
I
you
want
don't get
masseuse.
To pick the picture.
Well, I don't.
That goes on the seat of you.
This will be interesting. The amazing thing, and I'm not completely anti-stadium, but I do find some, you know, some skepticism in our deal. 8 games a year is going to be played in this.
10? Come on, we got 2 preseason games. All important preseason games.
10 games, and then, much like Target Field, when a big venue comes to town, they're going to play at the stadium, and there's going to be that loan that Ziggy took out is going to be paid out anytime, you know, pretty soon here.
What loan? What loan? The beauty of the Wilf thing is that he's got almost no money up front into this thing.
Right.
I mean, he can his tab will be
money.
Paid off revenue that he's negotiated out of this thing. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, as a writer, and again, minpost.com, Daily Glean, you have to be happy that we have Ziggy Wilf as an owner of this team, because he's not going to stop. There's going to be more stories with his racketeering charge. I picture.
Well, you know, the thing is about the he's got his legal problems out in New Jersey with this long-running lawsuit. But one of the things, in fairness to Ziggy, is that the other side of it are hardly saints either.
Oh,
this
no.
This is kind
no,
of a
true,
scorpions
true.
In the bottle
there's,
sort
no,
of
there's,
thing.
No, there's so many of these stories that there's really no one to root for.
No.
Least.
And Ziggy, you know, I bet I did a story on him. I mean, I can't say that I know him well, but you met him. I mean, he is not without humor. And, you know, the thing you pick up very quickly is that this guy is a very astute businessman. Business is his life. He knows contracts. He knows how this works. And that's the humor of the whole episode. Is that, I mean, he played the locals so well.
Well, and our governor didn't realize that he had a 20-year long lawsuit, which I did a Google search, google.com.
Talk about 1.5 seconds.
Yeah, there's about 30, 40 articles from the last 20 years that popped up on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of wishful thinking on the part of the politicians here. But, you know, Ziggy, I mean, he makes a good villain. Anybody who lives in a $20 million walls, you know, Park Avenue apartment is, you know, is easy enough to kind of despise. But there are other parts of it that don't hold up so well. I mean, his old man was a Holocaust survivor. I mean, his brother came here, just, you know, created this whole business. You know, then, of course, it turns into the real estate business in New Jersey, which means some rather interesting characters.
Yeah, I think that some of our friendly Minnesota nice folk might be kind of surprised. You go out to New Jersey, not to think that we're any less sophisticated or that they're sophisticated, but there's got to be some elbow rubbing and
you're learning how to cut deals, not just with Christian-minded Midwesterners. When you're cutting a deal in New Jersey.
Now, last question. Next media garage sale, we had SIDS and we had Bud Grants. Now, were you at either one of those?
I missed them. So
you weren't buying some Sid Hartman sport jackets?
Some of his old shoes? No.
Who buys this stuff?
Are they framed somewhere?
The Bud Grant one looked a little bit better. You could actually buy a Bud Grant boat cushion that he'd sign. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, I didn't go out to his house to you know, buy things.
He was getting his picture taken too. I mean, didn't he charge get $5 or something.
If you bought some and you got a free autograph and picture, if you didn't buy anything, it was $25.
Yeah.
I'm picturing Bud at the table with, you know, the garage sale cash box, you know, taking people's money and you know, people negotiating down with a fishing pole.
Yeah.
The Sid one, he just said he couldn't hear anyone. That's why he didn't have to sign or anything. But
I'm kind of looking forward to the Dave Dahl, the KSTP weatherman, his garage sale. You know, with all the books about the hoax of global warming.
You know,
Stanley Hubbard has given him.
We're trying to get Dave on the show here. So apologies, Dave Dahl, if you're listening right now. You're,
Dave, come on up.
Yeah, we'll have you and Brian can discuss that particular process. No, I mean, so. Minpost.com and Rye Wing Politics. Use your real name.
WRY.
Even if you are a disease, if you use your real name, Brian will respond.
You can call me all the names you want. Gotta be who you are.
You sound like a man who's used to it.
It's happened a lot.
Well, you have 2 more times until you're in the Five Timers Club, so we'll have to get these on the calendar here.
I'm prepared to serve at any time.
Closer to election season, because I know there's going to be some great commercials. I want to see Jim the Election Guy come back and tell us how to vote. We'll be back next Saturday. Hey, we have Ron Rosenbaum on next Saturday.
Hey, Ron.
Outstanding. I like him.
Discussing his podcast, and I think he might have a few opinions, too. So we'll
rarely without.
Next Saturday on KLVB Club 1220.